Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Today it's Fiona, Dash and Luke. The team is back. And today I would like to talk about how do you build a community? And I'm going to tell a little story around it about why I want to have this conversation in that last week I was walking my dog around the block. And as many of you know, I live in the CBD and we have a certain route that we follow that the dog sort of dictates. And I realized the reason why we take this route is because all along the way we stop and we talk to people in our community. So I'm going to give an example. So the first thing is we come out the front doors of our apartment and then we stop at the two cafes that face each other, and the actual workers of those cafes come out and give Suki their pat for the day. So, well, their first pat for the day. So they'll come out, they give Suki a pat. Sometimes they pick Suki up, and if other staff members can't come out, they carry her in and they give her a pat. And then, so that's our first stop. Then we stop at the hairdressers who has a chihuahua in their hairdressers, and they open the door, the chihuahua comes out, Lemon comes out. And then we all have a chat in the street about, you know, what we're doing and where we're going. And we notice that the salon's up for sale and finding out about that. Then we literally go another 10 metres and we see one of our neighbours who lives in our building, and she's looking really unwell. And so I say to her, oh, what's going on? She said, I've got this really terrible cold. And I was saying, how are you going walking your dog? Because they've got a very young dog that's really got a lot of energy. And she said, oh, not great. So then we exchanged details that we're going to walk her dog for the next couple of days and take it to the park and all that. So there was that. And then we walk around and there's a an Asian beauty store that has a poodle in it. And so Suki always insists on going up the stairs, and then the poodle always tells Suki to get lost. But all the people who work there come and give Suki a pat and they pick her up, and we leave when the poodle's finally had enough. Then we go around the corner and we go to this wonderful gift shop called Marcha, and Marcha's named after their dog Marcha. We go into the shop and then Suki eats some of Marcha's food, and Marcha's owner, you know, we stand there and have a long chat. And then other people from the community walk in the door and we go, oh, hi, how are you going today? And we all chat again. And then we talk to people all the way down the street that we know, like cafe owners. And then we come around. Then we stop at the cigarette shop. We don't smoke, but the cigarette guy comes out. He's wearing a Superman outfit this day. I ask him why, and he goes, because I can. And he always keeps schmacko, so he gives Suki a schmacko. We talk about his poetry books. By the time we get home, it's an hour, and we've only walked maybe half a K to a K, and we have talked to the entire community. Now, we do that walk three or four times a day, having multiple chats as we do it, and it just made me so appreciative of how you can build community. And I just wonder what you two are doing.
I can start. As someone that a couple of years ago, well, beginning of last year, had to build a community from scratch.
Mm.
And in terms of how it went, I'm so shocked. Like, I think that if you'd asked me at the beginning of last year how you build a community, I wouldn't know how to answer that. I think coming from inner city Melbourne, your connections were a little bit more based on like schooling and work. I felt that it was actually quite hard to develop long-term relationships with, you know, store owners and other people because of just a vibe I was getting. And when I came to Tassie, I realized that if you kind of treat everyone with this like level of curiosity, it's really actually amazing how much of a community you can develop. I've never been in this position before, but where I was kind of situated and in terms of where I'm living now, I have like several friends that all live within this area, and we've also got some go-to spots that we now go and eat at. And so quite often now I can just text a friend, or you know, one friend or the other, and say, hey, what's going on? And within like a couple minutes I've got people over at my house hanging out. We're walking down to like the strip to go and discuss and just hang out and get food, and we know a lot of the people. It's a lot of familiar faces, and even if we're not having full-on chats, you're getting that nod of acknowledgement of, yep, I remember you. And I feel as though there's this sense that anyone is willing to be part of your community if you give them the opportunity to. And in being proactive with that curiosity, not seeing communicating with others as a hassle or something that you kind of just have to do for this superficial pleasantries, it actually has led to like the development of what I would actually call a community here.
And I just wonder, Luke, because I hear a lot of social theorists and, you know, people kind of studying generations talking about how Gen Zs aren't very good at talking to strangers.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering about your reflection on that, considering you had to talk to strangers to then build this new community, and you talked about coming with curiosity. Do you think you're different to the rest of your generation in that aspect?
I think that it's probably less that people aren't good at it. I think it's more probably just articulating what we all experience when we're like meeting someone for the first time, which is that it is kind of uncomfortable and a little bit awkward until you pass through those like social pleasantries, that surface level conversation. But I think it is just very much like a fake it till you make it situation. And I think that Gen Z are really aware socially and maybe a little bit maybe hypersensitive to those initial stages and how people are reacting and things. But I would say that Gen Z is super adept. I mean, the people that I'm referencing now are probably all Gen Z who are able to like, connect and show that curiosity and passion and lead to this quick turnaround in developing what was just kind of a suburb to me into a community.
What do you think binds you as a community, Luke? What's the commonality between you all?
Shared experiences generally, because a lot of these people are still in university. So we've got that point of commonality. But again, I know this sounds really, really simple, but just having a curiosity for other people.
Mm.
When you're with someone that genuinely wants to connect with you and understand you, it leads to this sense of connection, I think, that is what makes a community a community. It's the curiosity about what's going on around you and genuinely caring about people around you. Sometimes it can be a little hard to step out of yourself, particularly in turbulent times. But when you've got that ability to see that, I guess, common humanity with other people, it is really that kind of abstract idea that I think leads to these experiences where when you walk past someone, you know, you nod or you want to give them a little bit of information about you or you want to hear how they're doing. I think it's a slow buildup of just wanting to share with other people. Because again, I genuinely think even if there's this idea that my generation is more socially anxious or they're not as good as talking in person, everyone wants to connect. I think that's just pretty well established. We're social animals. And so I think once you push through that initial uncomfortability, everyone kind of reacts, irrespective of generation, I think, quite similarly.
Does your community involve just Gen Z, or are you with different generations as well?
I think it's expanding now.
Mm.
Initially, it was through my university was how I established my community.
Yes.
But as you kind of begin linking it to the people around you, it's not just Gen Z around you, right? So you're talking to people that own businesses that are probably in other generations. Sometimes you're talking to people that are slightly younger. When you're starting to link other things like work in your community, then you're obviously including other people. And that's why I was saying that curiosity and open-mindedness is the center of it, because sometimes the point of commonality isn't life stage. It's just that desire to connect.
Mm.
And I think as well, it's helpful to have social media to maintain that as well. And I'm actually curious with Dash, the impact of technology on the establishment of communities in Gen Y, but I find that also really helps.
I guess if I take a step back and I kind of define what is community, and I feel like Gen Y, because we were the ones that, you know, really started to get onto like MySpace and Facebook and all of that kind of stuff, and there was a real period where we were like, that's my community, like that was so much of our community expression. We uploaded every single photo we ever took in our lives to Facebook. You know, we made ridiculous posts all the time about how we were feeling and what we were eating, and people would like and comment and engage. But that has probably fallen off. And then I was like, was that a community? Like, so many people have this conversation, it's not just me. Was that actually a community, or was it, you know, just a way of kind of, I'm almost like a social platform of entertainment, really, more than a community building platform. I think there were times it did it really well. And I remember, you know, people doing stuff during disasters and stuff where they really reached out and helped the community and all of that kind of stuff. So that, I don't want to discount that. But I think for me now, community is a lot around the people who I connect with personally or in person and have a kind of more authentic and real relationship with. And it was interesting, Luke, when you were talking about, you know, that initial awkward experience of getting to know someone and you're having these kind of small talk moments until you can kind of find something deeper that you can go, are we connecting? Are you a person that I'm going to like, I can get along with? I think Gen Y also finds that challenging. But I think once you do connect and you are fairly deep in, then it's something that does unfold a little bit more naturally. But I was just thinking the other day, there's so many, I don't know, Gen Ys are so into listicles, aren't we? Like, this is how you know someone is in your community or who your friend is. And they'll say things like, do they help you move home, like house? Do they pick you up from the airport? Do they check in when you're sick? Do they do this? Do they do that? And I was like, I don't do that for most people, and nor would I expect my friends to do that for me. But I would still say I have a good community. I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Again, like that type of stuff is maybe good for like facilitating reflection, but I don't know if I would base my entire like conception of who is a friend and who's part of my community based on listicles.
Do you do the listicles, Fiona?
Nah. Yeah, it's interesting listening to you both about different types of communities as well. Like, you know, you've got the online community, you've got your community around your neighbourhood, you've got community, like if you have children, you've got that community. You've got your university communities, you've got a family community. There's so many different ways to build. Or you, through your partner, you know, you through your partner you can build new communities. There's so many different ways that you can build community. It's actually unbelievable. But also you can have the loss of community as well. Like reflecting, like you're saying about you met a lot of students and things like that, Luke. When I was at university, university was my community at the time. And then when I left, I moved into the country and I lost that university community. And then, you know, you build a community in the country and you work for many years there. And then when I left, I mean, we still keep friends from that community, but you do lose that community. You sort of move, you can move communities, you know, from different communities. But that's a physicality that I think sometimes if you have an online community, is there's not a physicality to that. You could be anywhere in the world and still have that community. And do you curate your communities? Like, you know, like a book club or shared interests. Yeah, there's lots of ways to sort of build community. And I'm reflecting on it quite a bit because I know that a part of the problems in the world are there's a lot of people feeling a lot of loneliness. They're looking for community. And sometimes people can find the wrong type of community by my definition because they're disaffected and yeah, they can fall into the wrong circles as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I can, you know, as someone who does a lot of research for people who are older and particularly people once they hit retirement age, if they haven't had a strong community outside of work or have other hobbies or things like that, they can find that transition incredibly lonely. And also when older people get diagnosed with more and more health conditions or lose senses, sight, hearing, those kind of things, that can cause them to withdraw or their friends to also withdraw from them, which can be really challenging. But it's also interesting as a young person who lives with many health conditions, I feel like I curate my physical community and my online community. I went through and deleted so many people off my Instagram and Facebook just recently.
Really?
It was actually really therapeutic because I was just like, would I ever talk to you if I saw you in the street?
Yeah.
And the other thing I thought, are you posting and sharing as much of your life online as I am? And if you're not, I don't want like a stalker type person on my feed. So I deleted them. I don't know if that was harsh. People listening, if you were deleted, that is why.
So is the criteria just would I talk to them in the street and do they post?
Well, it's kind of like, for me, I feel like community is a two-way sharing of information and communication, right? So the people I love on my social media feeds are people who will post or comment or, you know, send love hearts or whatever, because you see a level of engagement in what you're posting and I'd do the same back. But then there are some people who are incredible. They're totally silent. They never post. You don't know what the hell's happening, but they watch every single one of your stories. They watch every, you know, you can kind of see them online and you're like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like an even relationship then.
It's interesting because I think that the idea behind like social etiquette online is quite different than in person.
Yeah.
Because there is almost that assumption when if you're doing it online, it doesn't have to be this instantaneous kind of communication. It can be either silent or it can be delayed. And so it's interesting that the way your kind of metric for engagement is almost as if it was a real live community.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think that's why I think my definitions of community have evolved recently. I don't mind if it's delayed or if I then see a person in person and they say, hey, I saw your post and, you know, that looked fun or whatever. But I just find it interesting. And that's the second criteria or the first criteria of would I talk to that person if I saw them in person, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point because when you initially said that, I like kind of almost did like the dog confused head tilt when you were like about engagement. But it actually makes sense because if I were to think about my online presence and whether or not I felt like I was part of a community, I would say not for that reason. Where, as Fiona was saying, yeah, you curate your environment either by yourself or by algorithms so that you're with people that are connected to you by some point of commonality, but I never engage in it. It's more just like, cool, this is things that I enjoy and I'm glad that I'm around people that also enjoy it, but I'm not really actually developing any relationship or connection with anyone. And so maybe you're right, there has to be that element of interaction and real-time development of some sort of relationship in order for it to be considered a community.
But remember, I was a Gen Y, so many of those platforms were when Facebook was new and the etiquettes around that was so different to what it is now. Like, I think if you were coming into Facebook or Instagram, and I don't know, I'm not even on TikTok, it's a whole different game now. I'm applying kind of the early, 2007, 2008, 2009 concepts of online community to today, which is probably not fair, but that's kind of how I then make sense of who are friends. I'm not going to have 600 Facebook friends, so that's why I have to cull the list.
It's interesting listening to you too, because I realize I don't have any online community. Mine is all physical. I don't have any online community.
Yeah, you're hardly ever online.
Yeah, no, I don't have time. Yeah, I don't have any online. I didn't think about it until you guys are talking about it, thinking, I don't have an online community. Except for during COVID, when everything had to be online, you know, like when we did the Williamson Dash and that was completely online. And then when I did the Enneagram study through the United States, that was online. Talking about that, I did the Enneagram study thanks to Dash and our hubby Scott, and I went to a wedding last week, which was one of my Enneagram buddies, and a whole lot of people from America that I've met online came to the wedding.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So I was going up to people going, oh, my God, Phil, you were my instructor 3-4 years ago. My name's Fiona Kelly. He's like, oh, my God, Fiona. And it was really lovely because, of course, during that study we'd gone really deep personally. And so meeting face-to-face, we were immediately in that space. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like uncomfortable. We could immediately start talking about concepts and things, which we did. We really did very quickly. But that's the only online community I've ever had that way. Like, I don't – do you find it exhausting,
Dutch? Can I tell you a funny story about the online community that happened yesterday?
Yeah, yeah, tell us.
So we were in Spotlight because one of our Duna covers – is ripped and we needed to buy a new one. and I saw a Duna cover for a king size bed, which is what we need, which had a peduncle dashing lookalike on it in a bow tie all over the quilt, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a cotton polyester quilt, which we don't usually buy polyester. But immediately I sent a photo of it. Scott was holding it to my mum, to one of Scott's staff members, to a few of our other friends who have dashings. And I said, you have to help me convince Scott that we need to get this. And like immediately messages came back with the rationales of why we needed to get this quilt set, which I was then reading out to Scott as we were leaving the store without the quilt.
Oh, but what?
That was like an example, right? That's how I use my online community.
That's a great idea. Send me the photo. I'll go buy it for you for Christmas and then bad luck, Scott.
It was marked down. It was only $40.
Probably, oh, my God. Like,
no one is going to buy this.
So what would be your tips if someone were to ask you, they've moved somewhere or they've just woken up and do feel a little bit disconnected, what would you say your tips, particularly Fiona, sounds like you kind of know everyone in your area, what are your tips for building that community?
I think go local, like, you know, go to your local supermarket, go to your local bank, go to your local cafe, go to your local hairdresser, start the conversation. How are you today? I'm great. How are you? You know, like just having that conversation and being actively like interested in what people have to say. I always find it really amazing when someone will say to me, how are you going today? And they go, oh, I'm great. How are you going? And then you see them look up and go, oh, someone's actually going to have a conversation with me. You know, like a delighted surprise. So be memorable in a way. So each time you come back, they go, oh, hi, how are you going again? The dog helped. Dog helped a lot. I'm not saying go get a dog because we built the community before we got the dog. That was just an extra bonus. And, yeah, just be interested in people. But I think being out in your community is really important. I had that during COVID. I went down to the South Melbourne markets regularly because it was within my 5K. Of course, I can't have a dog there. And I got to know a lot of the people in the shops. So even today, you know, 5 years later, I'll go into Rita's Nuts and she'll go, how are you going? And we start talking, you know, it's just about making connection. I think that's really important. What about you, Dash?
I think one of the things I would say is be willing to put yourself out there and take risks. So one of the things is, and maybe it's part of, I am an extrovert, I will acknowledge that, and I am quite nosy. So I'm often watching people, and like particularly on the tram or whatever, and if I feel like they're lost or they don't know what to do, I will always butt in, always. I mean, I'm constantly telling people, you don't have to tap off. But I also think in today's age, so many of us wear AirPods, and that discourages people from talking to you. And so one of the things that I think should be a little bit of a practice is try and walk around your community without AirPods in so that people can get your attention if they want to. And I do agree with Fiona, the dog does help. Like so many people, we've had a turnover of people living in our apartment who peduncle knew initially, and there's new people who are meeting her. And then this girl came up to us and said, in my workplace, everyone knows about your dog, but I realised I don't know your name or the dog's name. And so I was like, and I was like, what's your name? So I do think it takes a bit of risk of just initiation, and that can sometimes be a bit scary.
How about you, Luke?
What are your tips, Luke?
I'd just be echoing what you guys have already said. I think that if you want to establish a community, you need to really want to connect with other people. And that means, as I was saying before, that curiosity, that open-mindedness, that initiation. I think you'll be really surprised at, and as Phoebe was saying about that look back when you actually engage with them, and they're like, oh, I wasn't actually expecting to have an actual meaningful conversation right now. But I genuinely think everyone is looking for that some form of connection. And so if you give them that opportunity, you'd be surprised how many people will take it. Like, even with, you know, who's one of my best friends now, when I first met them during orientation, I didn't spend too much time with them because it's a relatively big cohort, but we had a little bit of time together and we've realized we had a mutual interest in soccer, and I said, we should go to a soccer game sometime. Didn't speak to them for a couple of days after that, but out of the blue, we weren't friends on Facebook. They messaged me and said, was that something you, you know, didn't say that that's something you actually wanted to do, but they were kind of sussing, did I actually want to go and actually do some experiences with them? And I was like, absolutely, that'd be great. And so that led to this friendship, and obviously community isn't just about these deep friendships, but it's about being really willing to connect and actually be a part of other people's lives. I think that's the one thing I would say is go in, be curious, be open, and if you have to, just fake it till you make it.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.